Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf Psachim Mem Beis. We are 11 lines from the top of the Amid. Says the Mishnah shel Nachtam Chu. Mishnah told us that the water that the Nachtam, the baker, uses to rinse his hands, that water needs to be poured out in order that it doesn't ferment and turn into chametz. Tani Chad that we learned in one brisa, Shoivchin, B'makay Madrein. They're meant to be poured in a place of incline, a place where it's sloped, in which case the water will trickle down and won't gather, won't remain in one place, and will not become chametz. Rather than pouring them in a place which is ishbarin, Rashi says, cracked earth, meaning that the water stays in one place, it gathers. So you're meant to be shayfech in a makim madrin, ve'ein shayfechin, we don't pour it, in a makim ha'ishbur, in a place where the water will stand still, sit in its place, and turn into chametz. That's one b'raisa. V'tani idach, however, in the other b'raisa it says, shayfechin b'makim ishbur. You can pour them in a place where they will stand idle. L'kasha, the answer is, hadanafishi, the kavu. When we have lots of water, in which case, it will gather, it won't get absorbed in the ground. Therefore, there's a concern of chimutz. Make sure you do it in a sloped area so that it trickles away. Ha delina fishi, the brisa which allows it to be poured in a place where it will stand still, speaking where there isn't a lot of water. Delay kavu, it won't gather, rather they'll get absorbed in the ground prior to any chametz concern being generated. Amar Yehuda, isha lo yisolosh el v'mayim shalanu. An isha should only use for her lisha, for her kneading, water which slept overnight, which was taken out of the ground and stayed outside overnight and allowed it to cool off. So here we have the halacha of mayim shalanu. Darsha Rav Masna bepapunya. Rav Masna taught it in the town of Papunya. He says, Anisha should only use mayim shalanu. Now, Rashi explains, they didn't necessarily understand. They didn't know Lashon Kodesh. They thought that mayim shalanu means our, my water. You can only use for your matzah my water. So they were compliant people, hamunas chachamim. The next day, after they heard the drush, the next day, lemachar aisu kuli alma chatzvayu. So everybody came along with their pitchers, v'asal gabei, and came to Rav Masna. V'amalei told him, havlan maya, give us some of your water. We need to bake our matzahs. Amalei told him, no, that's not what I meant. You misunderstood. I meant water which stayed overnight. Why does it have to remain outside overnight? So Rashi says, because in the Yemei Nisan, which is the last month of the winter, since the sun is positioned low in the horizon, this is based on the Gemara Lent of Tzadik Dalet, since it's low down the horizon, it affects the underground waters and heats them up a bit. So we have to take it out, leave it out overnight, and allow it to cool off. And then only then use it for matzah. So he said, Ano b'may devisu amru. I meant water shalonu, which remained overnight, out of the source, which allows it to cool off. It doesn't have to be my water, my shalonu. Darish Rav, so Rava taught as follows, Isha lo yisolosh b'chama. Anisha should take care not to knead her dough in the direct sunlight. V'loy b'chama, chama, nor using water which was heated by the sun. And as Rashi says, certainly not using water which was heated by ordinary heat. So all these things can generate a chimutz concern. V'loy b'mayim ha'grufen min ha'mulya, nor shall she use water which was drawn out of the bottom of the mulya, the kettle, which is still considered warm or lukewarm. V'loy sagbi'a yodim natanu. And when the isha is engaged in kneading and preparing the bread, she should continue engaging the dough. She shouldn't leave it idle. She shouldn't lift her hand during the preparation of baking. Acha tigmar esklapas, until she finishes the whole process. You're meant to be constantly in action, engaging your dough. Don't leave it idle for a moment for concern that it might turn into chametz. What else does she need to do? V'tzarech, or some say v'tzricha, shnei kelim. She should have two containers of water. One that she draws water from it to, she dips her hand, takes some water out, and uses it to smooth and to shape the dough. Ve'echad shemetzanenas ba'is yadea. And the other container is where she'll place her hand into that container, into the water, to cool off her hand. As Rashi points out, she shouldn't use the first container to cool her hand, because the first container, on account of the constant activity in and out, warms up, and it's going to warm up her hand and warm up the dough. So she needs to cool her hand off using another container of water. Iboilu, so the Bnei Yeshiva asked the Shaila, Avra v'loshamau. So we have all these guidelines. Keep your dough active, keep it warm, don't use warm water, etc. Let's say she was Avra, she didn't comply. Avra v'losha, she kneaded the dough using warm water. Mau, what is the halacha? Do we apply a knas? Do we say, well, you didn't comply with the halacha, let's just presume it to be chametz, let's give it a halacha of a davar chametz, Rashi explains on account of a knas, and it's aser. Is it or is it not? Mazutra ama mutar. Although initially you're not meant to do it in this manner, but if you do it, we don't give it a din of chametz, and it's mutar to be eaten. Rav Ashi ama aser. According to Rav Ashi, we apply a knas, and we treat it like chametz. Ama mazutra. Mena minila. How did I know that it's mutar? The sign up, because we found a similar price elsewhere. Ein loisus in hasar v'pesach. One is not meant to soak the barley grain. They would do it in order to loosen it, to allow the bran to be removed easily, and to allow for proper milling and produce highly refined flour. So he's not meant to do that on Pesach because of a chimutz concern. If he soaked his grain, b'diavad, then we take a look at it. This baku asur, if they became bloated to the point that we see they're beginning to split, in which case we see the chimutz process is about to begin, then you can no longer eat them. Lonis baku mutar. However, they hadn't yet split, then they're mutar, even though he was over on the din. So we see that we don't give it a din of chametz. The chatchila, he meant to avoid this process, but b'di'eved, we don't apply a din of chametz. Therefore, when it comes to this isha who used hot water to produce her dough, the chatchila, it's not recommended, but b'di'eved, we don't give it a din of chametz. So that's Rav Mazurcha speaking. Rav Ashi, he disagrees, right? He says that in this case, if she was avar v'lasha, it's aser. So he responds by saying like this, Atu kulu. Are you going to say that all cases are similar? Chada machisa machisinu. All cases were weaved in one weave. You can't compare one to the other. Perhaps there's a reason why in the case of soaking the grain, although the chatchila is not meant to do it, but the evet perhaps it doesn't carry such a great concern of chimutz there. It's only the kernel itself. Perhaps over there the Chacham did not consider it chametz, but maybe over here it's a greater concern of chimutz. It's in the dough itself, which is warming up. Whatever the reason is, you can't compare one to the other. They're all in one weave. All halachas, all restrictions, all guidelines are considered one and the same. Heichad etmeitva. We have a clear halacha, such as in the case of the lesisa, where we learned lechatchila you don't do it, but with the evidence it's okay. Fine, itma. So we apply that over there. Veichad leitma. However, where we don't have any clarity, we don't have a chachamim who said, well, it's mutar b'di'evad, lo yitma, then we don't apply it. So in our case, perhaps it's different, and indeed Rav Ashi holds, that the isha who decided to do lisha in an inappropriate manner, b'di'evad, we apply a knas, and we consider it to be chametz, and the isha is asr. Hadran aloch kol shah. Continues the Mishnah. Ve'elu oivrim b'pesach. The Mishnah will give us a list of various forms of chametz. The common denominator will be that's not standard, typical chametz, piece of bread. It's something which is either a taruvus, a mixture of chametz with something else, or chametz nuksha, inferior quality chametz, not really so edible. And this is going to be the list in our Mishnah. Ve'el oivrim b'pesach, Rashi learns. Oivrim means you're oivrim bal yiro bal yimotzef. You have these items around. Therefore, you're meant to be mevayret before Pesach. What is the list? We have a total of 8 different items. Kutach habavli was a dip, which was made from whey, the watery substance of milk. Breadcrumbs, which would be left there in this thing to mold, and salt. So kutach habavli, Babylonian kutach, which contains chametz, of course. V'sheicher hamadai. Sheicher hamadai was beer from madai. V'schemetz hadaimi. the edaim vinegar, v'zeisa mitzri, some other type of recipe which contains chametz, v'zoyman shel tzaboim, this was a bran broth, some type of liquid, which would contain bran, and would be used by the tzaboim, those who would die. V'amilon shel tzabochim, this was some type of bread, which was used by the cooks. V'koylon shel soifrim, glue used by the soifrim. V'laz oimer, one more substance, which is av tachshitei noshim, also the cosmetics used by the noshim. So we have a total of 8 substances, which, according to Rashi, entail by Yerov Alimotz. Zeaklal, this is the rule, kol shumim in dogan, anything that contains some form, some variety of dogan, hareza over Pesach, there's an issa by Yerov Alimotz of having it around, and the Mishnah concludes, but you meant to know there's a difference between these substances and your standard chametz. Hareilu b'hazor, if a person should eat these things, since you're not eating straight away chametz, it's a mixture, or it's chametz nuksha, then there's a lav, azhora. Ve'emam shem curse, however, there's no curse liability on account of eating these things. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. 5 lines from the bottom. Ve'elu oivrin alein bebal yiro bal yimotz. Ve'kulu mefarish to b'gemara, the Gemara will explain everything. Zeisam, mezoimun, ve'kulu v'amil, all the different types of substances. Tachshit enoshim, b'gemara mefarish, the Gemara will explain why exactly was the Chametz concern when it came to tachshit enoshim. And the Mishnah concludes, Zeaklal, anything that's min dogan, all different types of grain, chamishaminen, chitin, osorin, makusim, shbalashol, v'shifan, contains any of these, he must get rid of it before Pesach. And the Mishnah concludes, however, when it comes to achila, as hara applies, a lav, ve'edman, karas, im achlan, avaye, lav yesh, ba'achilasan, b'gemar yof lakul. The Gemara will teach us the marker for this concept. So Rashi learns, ve'elo over means, be'bal yor ba'y matzah. Taisa disagrees. He says, "Meicha Taisa, how do we know that even a mixture or even chametz nuksha generates bal yiro bal yimotza?" Rather, says Taisa, "Nil Rabbi Natam, there's no bal yiro bal yimotza." When the Mishnah says ve'elu oivrin, it means you can't eat it. So oivrin means oivrin ma'al hashulchan, needs to be removed from one's table. So that it doesn't come to eat it, as the Mishnah concludes, because there's a lav when a person eats these things. But of course, Bali Rabbi Yimotza, Taisus learns, doesn't apply to these cases. Continues the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. So once we discussed Kutach HaBavli, the Gemara will describe it a bit further and relate to it. Tanu Rabbanan. Shloisha Dvarim Ne'morim B'Kutach HaBavli. There are 3 things which were said with regard to Kutach HaBavli. 3 non-complimentary things. Metamtam Es Halev. It clogs a person's heart. And it causes blindness. And it weakens the entire body of a person. Explains the Gemara. Why does it clog the heart? Because of the way, the soilus of the chalav, the watery substance coming from the chalav, which apparently is detrimental to one's heart. Why does it cause blindness? Because of the salt content. We know that Melach stoimus, which is a very intense, strong type of salt, can cause blindness if it comes into contact with one's eyes. So apparently this kutach contained this type of melach. And finally, makish saguf, it weakens a person's body. Mishum kumnisa d'um, on account of the mold of the crumbs found in this dip. Tan Rabbana, gimul dvarim mar ben azel. There are 3 things that increase a person's body waste, the koyfin is a koyma, and bend and detract from a person's posture, weaken the person. V'naitlin echad mi'chamesh meis mi'mayr enav shel adam, and detract 1 part of 500 from a person's eyesight. So, what are these 3 things that are detrimental to a person? Elohim, pas kibar. Pas kibar is bread made from the psoilus of the psoilus bran, etc. V'sheicher chadash. Fresh beer, v'yorek chai, and raw vegetables. Rashi says leeks, onions, if they're eaten in large quantities. Tanu Rabbanan, shloisha dvarim have a beneficial effect on a person. Matanas hazevel, they diminish a person's body weight. V'zekvin sakoyma, they strengthen a person's, straighten out a person's posture. Umayurin sainayim, and illuminate one's eyes. They're healthy. Elohein, what are these three things? Pasnakia, clean, highly refined bread, basar shomein, fatty meat, v'yayin yoshen, and aged wine. Explains the Gemara, pasnakia, what does that mean? The smida made from refined flour. Basar shomein, fatty meat, that's pirta delay aftach, which was produced from a tzvirta, a goat, who had not yet given birth. Yayin yoshen, what is that? Atik atiki, overaged, overly aged wine, Rashi says, shoshalei shonim, 3 years old. Continues the Gemara. Kol mila demali lahai. Generally speaking, every remedy has a side effect. So something which is beneficial to one ailment, kosher lahai, will have a negative effect on a different part of the person's body. The kosher lahai, and something which is has a detrimental effect on one part of the body, mali lahai, will be beneficial to another portion of the body. So that's a general rule. Medicines carry side effects. Levar bar mizan gvila, except for the following items, which are good throughout, except for the zan gvila, retiva, fresh ginger, upilpili arichta, long pepper, pasnakia, refined bread, ubasa shomin, fatty meat, viayin yoshan, aged wine, the malil kulugufe, which is beneficial, comprehensively beneficial to a person's entire body. So the Mishnah gave us a list of 8 items, 8 substances which contain chametz in various versions, various forms. And the first one was the kutach habavli, which we just discussed, which contains some breadcrumbs. What's number 2 on the list? Sheikhar hamadi. What's wrong with sheikhar hamadi? Explains the Gemara. The madai beer had chametz, the romu bei mesar, because they would place some barley water, barley juice, into the sheikhar, and therefore it's chametz on account of that. Next on the list is the chametz adoimi. What's wrong with the edoim vinegar? The shadu beisari, because they would add some barley into the vinegar, into the concoction to make it. They would add it to the wine actually to make it into turn into vinegar, because otherwise the wine was of such high quality, it would not sour, not turn into vinegar. They have to add barley in order to produce vinegar. Amar of Nachmar Yitzchak, betchil originally, kshemevin nusachem Yehuda, when they would bring the nusachem for the mizbeach from the Yehuda area of Yerushalayim. So as a result of the schus, the fact that Yehuda supplied the wine for the Beis Hamikdash, lo yohaya yenam shel Yehuda machmitz, their wine would not sour. They couldn't produce vinegar from their wine. It was of such high quality, such superior quality wine. They were compelled to put se'irim into the wine to produce vinegar. So all the chaymetz, all the vinegar produced in Yehuda inevitably contained barley, was chametz. All the chaymetz was chametz, because otherwise it wouldn't sour, it wouldn't turn into vinegar. And that's why when you speak about chametz plain, you're referring to the chametz that has chametz in it, has barley, because otherwise you couldn't produce vinegar from their wine, which was of such superior quality and would resist fermentation. That was originally during the time when the Beis Hamikdash was standing. Va'achshav, however, nowadays after the Golus, that power, that element of superiority, and the fact that the wine was of such high quality, that quality was transferred from Yehuda, from Klal Yisrael, to the Edomim. That's the nature of Golus. Va'achshav, ein yenam shel Edomim machmitz. So rather than having this phenomenon regarding the yain of the Yehuda, this phenomenon was present in the yenam of the Edomim, of Edom. Because now they were on top, they were in charge, and they were given this quality. So now their wines were of such quality that it would resist fermentation. Until they would add some se'er and some barley to create the fermentation. That explains our Mishnah. And now, that is called chametz adoimi, because in Edom, their chametz contained the seir. So specifically this vinegar has a chametz concern, because otherwise they couldn't make vinegar. This was the only way they would do it. So the chametz ha'doimi specifically contains chametz. L'kayim ha'shenemar, this is a fulfillment of the pasuk, this concept that the qualities, the milus of Yisrael gets transferred temporarily to the adoimim. This is a fulfillment of the pasuk. Imala ha'chareva. The pasuk here is describing a virtual conversation between Tzur, which belonged to Rome, discussing with Yerushalayim and saying, Imala ha'chareva, I'm going to fill up from the desolation of Yerushalayim. Im malei yazu charvazu. When one of them is full and inhabited, the other one is desolate. Im malei yazu, if the other one is filled, charev yazu, the other one is desolate. It's either one or the other. It's either Yisrael or Lahavd or the Goy. We find this concept in a different pasuk. Rivka Imena went to ask, Vatelech lidrish Hashem, what's going on? I feel this conflict, this battle going on in my inside. And they told her, it's actually two nations fighting and battling for control. One kingdom, one nation is going to try to strengthen himself and prevail over the other. So it's a constant tug of war between the Yisrael, the Goyim, the Toiv, and the Ra, etc. Continues the Gemara. Tanya, Omar Yehuda, Bereshina, initially, in the earlier generations, Yehuda, Bereshina, in the area of Yehuda, in Eretz Yisrael, Bereshina, originally, Halakeh, Chaymetz, Mamaretz. A person purchases vinegar from Amaretz, Eino Tzarech La'asa, there's no need for him to be concerned that the Amaretz didn't separate the Maser. Why? Because there's no need to separate Maser from vinegar. Why? The presumption is that vinegar at that point was produced not from wine, because as we discussed earlier, that wine wouldn't produce vinegar. It came from temet. So Rashi describes temet as follows. They would have water poured on the remnants of the grapes, whether the skins, whether the leaves, residue on bottom of the barrel. They would fill it with water and then have it sit there, and somehow the effect, the grape material, whatever it was, affected the wine and it soured. So initially, vinegar would only be produced in this manner because their wine was of such high quality that it wouldn't produce vinegar. And therefore, Bida maintains there's no concern of maaser because this thing is not chayva maaser since it wasn't produced from wine. This was initially va'achshav, but nowadays, when the quality of wine in Eretz Yisrael dropped, and chometz can be produced from wine as well. So halacha changes as well. Halakei chometz from Eretz. A person purchases vinegar from Eretz, tzorech la'asa. He needs to do ma'aser. Why? Shechaskasa in a bo'el min ayin. Because it is presumed to have been produced from wine. Because nowadays, vinegar is produced from this low-grade wine, which produces vinegar. Says the Gemara, one second. But temet itself, do you mean to say, is not chayv and ma'aser? The suburb Yuda temer. Temet lav bar isuri? Would be the whole that temer is lav bar isuri? There's no din of maaser by temet? We have a Mishnah which indicates otherwise. Vatnan. Hamatamet. Person produces the temet. Venosan mai bamida. And he placed some water there, poured in a measure of water. You know, as he poured in a liter or a gallon of water. And he took out. He found only the liter or the gallon that he put in. Same amount that he put in. He took out. There was no addition to the shear. Potter, then he's potter from Meiser because we assumed there was no wine contained in the whatever substance he poured the water on. The raya is because he ended up with the same amount that he poured in. So that's the shita of the Tanakam. So it's potter from Meiser. Wine doesn't have Meiser, right? So if it's just water, water doesn't have Meiser. So if it's just water, then he's potter from Meiser. Rabbi Lemachayv. He says Yechayv. Why? Apparently, even though there's no essence, no substance of wine contained in the temet, as Rashi explains, the ozel basachazus of a tam, he follows the color, the taste, the flavor, since it looks and tastes like wine, as it did in wine, and there's a chiyuv ma'aser. So what do we see? That according to Rabbi Yehuda, temet is chiyuv ma'aser. So why should Rabbi Yehuda tell us that a person, in the olden days, a person purchased vinegar from the Be'aretz is no chiv ma'aser because it's coming from temed. Temed is chayv ma'aser. Hachi ka'amar, this is what Rida meant to say. Granted, temed itself is chayv ma'aser, but Lo yinechshetu ame oretz ala temet. We don't suspect that the ame oretz cut corners and avoided doing the terumas ha'maishas when it came to temet because it's a commodity of low value. Why would he go ahead and cut corners and avoid the terumas ha'maishas? So granted, temet is chayv ha'maishas contributor. But what he meant is that you don't have to suspect that the ame oretz avoided giving the terumas ha'maishas because it's not something of high value. And we assume that he followed through the way he's supposed to do. Ibo Esemer, another pshat is, nechshatu. Theoretically, the Am Arts is suspected of avoiding the Tumah Mas even when it comes to Temet. If that's the case, we're back to the Kasha. Initially, Abida says that a person purchased the Chaymetz, which was produced from Temet, he doesn't have to worry about the mice. Then we have a Mishnah, that Temet is Chayva Maisu. Well, the Kasha, the answer is, it depends what the temet was produced from. Ha bede Ravka. The Mishnah, where Rida says that temet is chayv and maser, is speaking where he poured water on the shmarm, leaves, in which case there's still some wine substance absorbed therein, and that gets expelled when he puts the water on it. So that's considered to be true wine, and according to Abuda, that generates chayv and maser on the temet. Ha bedepurtzani. The first Abuda, where chametz purchased from Ha'aretz, entails no concern or chashash of Meiser because it's being produced from Temet. It's speaking about Temet produced using grape pits, which don't really have any wine absorbed in them, and therefore pouring wine on these things, water on these things, that doesn't generate any item of substance here. It's just wine, it's just water with some sort of light color and light flavor coming out of these pits. It's not considered to be essentially a wine product, and therefore, even according to Yehuda, it would be potter from ice. Perhaps let's see Rashi inside here. So Rashi would begin, let's start 12 lines from the top, beginning with the word betchila. So why is it called chametz adoimi? The Gemara told us because initially, when the Beis Hamikdash was standing, the quality of wine in Yehuda was of such high level that it couldn't produce vinegar from it until you put some seirim in it, making it chametz. And nowadays, that was transferred to the Edomim, and their wine wouldn't sour unless you add some barley. And that explains the Mishnah, chametz adoimi. The Edomi barley, the Edomi vinegar, is considered chametz because they can't produce chametz vinegar unless they have chametz. Says Rashi betchila, kshebeis hamikdash kaim, hoy mevi'in nesachim Yehuda, they were bringing the nesachim from Yehuda, uveschus hanesachim, in merit of the nesachim, hayitam b'yeinam, that wine was of such high quality, v'lo yamachmet, it wouldn't sour. But then it was transferred. Unfortunately, a molach hareva, reisha dekro, yan, omer tzul yishulayim, och, esmalei mechubanish yishulayim, tzur, it's conversing with yishulayim, so to speak, I'm going to fill from your churban, v'tzur me'edem hi. So Edom was granted this quality. We can't have a simultaneous kingdom by Yaakov and Esav. It's either one or the other. And then we'll proceed with a discussion regarding Temet. Temet bufit. Rabbi says, initially, if a person purchased chometz from Amaretz, you can be sure that it was produced from Temet. Why? Because actual wine wouldn't produce chometz. Would come from this low-grade wine mixture. That was initially. Now bottled tam yain. So the yain went down in quality, and sours. And therefore, it's pata mala aser. Oh, pata is going on the Mishnah there. That regarding temed, according to Tanakama, it's pata. Pata mala aser, share inkan elamayim. You only have water. What's the riot? Shulim Motz El Gdeim Nasa. What do you find? You found the same gallon that he put in? It says Rashi, Va'afakav the Chazusei V'tam Mechamer. Even though in its color and its flavor, you feel, you taste wine. Ki Yuh Depir Ba'almu Da'el. But it's just a slight flavor that the pirer gave into the water, but it's not really the true essence of wine. That's the Tanakama. So Temed is not Chayiv and Mas. Rabbi the Mechayiv, because he says, flavor and taste and color is good, is considered is something to reckon with. The Ozla Basa Chazusa V'tama, he follows the color and the flavor. If that's the case, so how could Rabbi Yehuda tell us that vinegar produced from Temed carries no concern of Maser? Temed? Schaiva Maser. Hachi Ka'amar, this is what he meant to say. Mas Nisa Kamais in the first price. Yeah, Temed is chayv, but Am Eretz is not suspected of avoiding it. It's not something of significance, not something of value. That's why a person purchases it, he's potter from the mind. That's the first pshat. Second pshat in the Gemara was nechshto. Yeah, even when it comes to Temed, they're going to try and cut corners. If that's the case, why, if a person purchased chaymetz from Am Eretz in the olden days, there's no concern because since it's coming from Temed, there's no concern of Maisa. What do you mean? Why is there no concern? Says Rashi, Rabbi Yehuda, Mas Naisa Ka Maisa, Taime, Mishun De Pata, Afilu Masa Vadai. Even if it would really, really be Chayva Masa, not from Am Eretz, which is really a suffix, we learned earlier, it's only a miut. Suppose it's really Tevel, you know there was no Masa separated from the Temed. It would be Potter. Why? Ubetemed the ports in the kamer. Speaking of temed, which is produced by the using pits, shenoyis n'mayim mecharzana. Vu machmetz marziach achazman tiyanatoyses that turns into some sort of vinegar. Vayim temed. The last veil you the pera. That certainly only has a slight flavor, and that is not significant enough to be mechayva masa. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda was speaking about. Chaymetz produced from temed, which was made in this. In this very light fashion. The Mishnah where Rida says Temed is Chayiv was speaking about higher quality Temed. They would place water in the Shmarim itself, the lees. That's also a version of Temed. Now even though he only took out what he put in, he only found the same gallon that he poured in, it's Chayiv. Why? It says Rashi, V'shayayin shal Shmarim Urbay. We assume that the wine which was previously absorbed in the Shmarim has now been expelled, replaced by the water. So there was an exchange of liquid. The water went in, forcing the wine essence out of the Shmarim. Some of the water went into the Shmarim. So there was an exchange. And the Temet contains some real wine, therefore contributed to Chayv Masa. So just to surmise the sugya, the Mishnah says chametz adomi is considered a chametz mixture because nowadays their wine is of such high quality, it doesn't produce chametz. The only way to produce vinegar is by inserting some barley, just as in the old days in Yehuda, there was this phenomenon. Now it's been transferred to Edom until Mashiach comes, may remain, amen. That's concerning chametz. Now regarding temet, which is this wine-water mixture, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's chayiv. According to Rabban, it's potter from Maisa. There are two approaches. Either Rabbi Yehuda is machayiv any type of temet, or the second terrace of the Gemara, depends what type of temet. High quality temet, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is chayiv, but low quality is pot. Continues the Gemara, Vizesa Mitzri, this is the next item on the list. That contains a chametz concern. Maizesa Mitzri, what exactly is this? Torah of Yosef is the following recipe. Tilsa Sari, a third barley flour, tilsa kurtum, a third saffron, a tilsa milcha, a third salt. So this is the concoction which is called zeisa mitzri. And of course it has soirim, so it's chametz. Rapapa mapik sa'ari umayel chiti. Rapapa would substitute barley for wheat. V'simonach, in order to remember who said what. So it was Yosef, Rav Yosef, who said soirim. V'simonach sisni. Sisni is some type of bowl, type of kli. That's a way to remember who said what. Rav Yosef said se'orim, so sisni. So what do I do with these ingredients? Torilu. They go ahead and they soak it. Torilu, v'kaliluhu, and they roast it. V'tachnu, and they grind it. V'shaslu, and they drink it. Medivcha v'atzarta, from Shavuos, from Pesach until Shavuos. It's meant to serve as a remedy for the following element. The comet, a person who has a constricted bowel system, bowel digestive system, marpile, loosens him. It serves as a laxative. Udurapi, if a person has a loose system, mikhametle, it constricts it. L'choyle isha ubra, however, for an ill person or a pregnant woman, sakanta, it's actually dangerous to take this type of ill, type of remedy, because of its laxative effect, which is dangerous in these circumstances. So the next item on the list is Zonim Shel Tzaboim. What exactly is this? Here in Babel, they interpret it as follows. It's this paste used as glue by the shoemakers. Rav Simon Chaznomar, he had a different approach. Zetipulan Shel Bnei Sashirim. Speaking about a hair removal paste used by the bonos of wealthy families. So while they're still using it, there's no chametz concern. But then when they leave some over for the bonos of poor families, that added delay brings about a chametz concern. Shemeshiris Oisoi, who leaves some over the bonos aniyim to the daughters of poor families. So Kailan Shel Seifrim, Seifrim is the Mlam de Tinoikis, the Rebbeim of small children, Rashi says they're aniyim. So the Kailan Shel Seifrim has a chametz concern. Amy says, how can you say this is the Pshat in the Mishnah? That it's the hair removal paste. V'atana Rabbi Chiya taught us like this. That our Mishnah, according to Tanakam at least, we have seven substances. Says Rabbi Chiya, we have two categories. Arba'a mina medina. Four of them are used by the general population. The Kutach HaBavli, the Chaymet HaDoimi, Sheikh HaModai, Zeis HaMitzri. Some things which are commonly used. U'shloisha mina umnas. And we have another three which are mini umnas, used by craftsmen. Now, if Kailan Shel Seifrim is something used by the shoemakers, fine, then it works. So the first four in the Mishnah are commonly used items, and the final three are mini umnas. However, according to you, vi amris, tipulan shel bnei sashirim, that Kailan Shel Seifrim is in reference to the hair removal paste, my mini umnas ika. How do you get the three mini umnas? It's something which is commonly used. You don't have three things in the Mishnah which are intended for craft use. Ve'elamai perur du ushkifi. Okay, so according to you, it's the glue for the shoemakers. Amai karile hai kolon shel seifrim. So why is it called kolon shel seifrim? Kolon shel ratzonen miboyle. Rather than Kailan Shel Seifrim, it should have been called Kailan, the paste, the glue of the Ratzonen, the shoemakers. So this perhaps is a raya to me that it's referring to the hair removal paste used by the Bnei Sanim of the Seifrim. Amar v'ayishano lo'elam piru de ushkifi. Truthfully, we're speaking about the glue of the ushkifi of the shoemakers. If that's the case, v'amai kari de Kailan Shel Seifrim, why do we call it Kailan Shel Seifrim? The Seifrim Nami, because the scribes, the Seifrim, they as well use this substance. Mad Bekenbu, they are saying, they use this glue to glue together their papers. So it's a dual use item. It's glue used by the shoemakers and also by the Seifrim. Continues the Gemara. Rebbeleza Omer, Av Tachshite Noshem. He added an eighth to the list. Cosmetics used by Noshem. Every tachshit of Isha is chametz. Why is that? Ela Eimah, rather say like this. Af, Rav Blaz is adding af tipulei noshim. This hair removal paste used by the noshim, which contains chametz. Ask Tosfos, well, according to Rav Simcha Chazna, who learned that Kol Shel Seifrim means that very same item. So why the repetition? What's Rav Blaz adding? Tosfos says that we're speaking about two different types of usages. Earlier we're speaking about removing facial hair, here we're speaking about something used to remove hair from more private areas, which in which case the paste becomes mose and perhaps inedible. And the chiddush would be that even this type of chametz, according to Blazer, is considered still edible and has the same halacha as the other items in the Mishnah. Domer v'domer rav. Where do we find that they would use this type of paste to remove hair? Bnei Yisrael, Shigil the Pirkan. The Bnei Yisrael who have arrived at the stage that they begin growing this pubic hair, v'leigil l'shanim, and have not yet come of age, so it's embarrassing. Bnei Yisaniyim, Tevil Sanyim, Besid. So the Bnei of poor families, how do they remove the hair? Using lime. Bnei Yisashirim, what do they do? Tevil Yisayim, Besayim, they use this flour paste. the bonnets, the prince, the princesses, they use Shemen Amor to remove the hair. Shenemar, we learn in Megillas Esther, Shisha Hadoshim, B'Shemen Hamor, 6 months, they used, they anointed themselves, this is a special Shemen Hamor. My Shemen Hamor, what exactly is this? Rav Huna Bar Yimei Amar, Satkas. Rashi says, Lo Yisparish, we're not sure exactly what this is, some sort of oil, some sort of anointing oil. Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba Amar, he says it means like this, Shemen Zayas, it's olive oil, produced from olives, Shleihevi Shlish, which have not yet achieved a third of their ripeness. So take these olives and press it into the olive oil used for this purpose. Tanya, Rabbi Do'imer on piknin. The Mishnah Menachah says that we're not meant to use on piknin for the Menachis. What is that? Shemen Zayis, Shlevi Shlish, according to him. On piknin is the same as the Shemen Amor, according to the last Pshat. They're both Shemen Zayis of Zayis, which was Lehevi Shlish. Okay, so what's the point of smearing this Shemen Hamor? Because it removes unwanted hair, and it makes the skin go. Let's make a quick chazar of today's daf. It began with the Meta Shmisha Shel Nachtim, the water which the baker uses. Must make sure that it doesn't gather and turn into chametz. Rava tells us that the Isha should not produce her dough under the sun and using warm water. Rida says, meant to use Mayim Shalonu, make sure it cools off prior to use. We had the story about the people in Papanoi who came running with their kelim. They thought Mayim Shalonu was his water. And he told, no, it means Shalonu. They've slept, have been taken out of their source and left to cool overnight. And what about Bidi Evid? Hamachloik is going to Marzutra, it's Tlomoto, going to Ravashi, it's us. We learned the Mishnah, which gave us a list of 7, or according to Blazer, 8 items, which aren't really pure chametz. They're either a mixture or partially inedible chametz, chametz nuksha, in which case a person should eat it. It's only allowed, there's no curse. But, as Rashi learns, Elu Oivrin, you must remove it, get rid of it before Pesach, to avoid Issa Bal Yirah Bali Matzah, which gave us a whole list. And Rumar explained, went down the list one by one, why each one either is mixed with chametz, or is chametz nuksha, and therefore, you must remove it before Pesach. Zayigzot, much, much, hatzlocha.